You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
All right, good morning, 11 a.m. service. If you're wondering what this series is all about, okay, church, we're basically looking at the book of Acts, and we're looking at the distinguishing marks of what made the early church basically the church. Unsa mga important features or marks. It's like when you buy an item, or you know, when you look at certain iconic items or things, like for example, a Herschel bag or a Converse sneakers, diba? There are certain parts of those things that you know, if you see it, Herschel ning a bag or Converse is a shoe. Like on Converse, if you see the laces, that white tip, the shoe, and the kilid, you'd know you're looking at a Converse shoe. The same thing with the Herschel bag. There are certain parts of the bag, the straps and all, that tells you, okay, Herschel ni siya nga bag. Now, the same thing with the church. It has certain distinguishing marks, and we talked a bunch of them over the past few weeks. We talked about devotion, we talked about service, community, and prayer. And now, for our fifth installment, we'll talk about something else as well. But before that, come here, freshmen. How would you know if someone nag-agi siya ROTC or kaka-ROTC lang niya? Diba? It's these things right here. Diba? Ang skin ni mo, ang haircut ni mo. It's one way to know that that someone really passed through ROTC or is going through ROTC, all right? Now, anyway, our distinguishing mark for this week is basically the message. The church is marked with a message. Now, what kind of message that may be, we're going to look at it in a while. Talking about distinguishing mark, the point of this installment message is that when you look at certain individuals or certain groups, especially if they're passionate about something, their lives or their organizations are usually marked with a certain message. For example, these famous people or organizations, you think about Gandhi, you think about peace or peaceful revolution. This guy was advocating for freedom in his country through peaceful means. You think about Steve Jobs naman, you might think of innovation. He revolutionized the tech industry. How we do things today is greatly in large part by what he did, the products of company niya. You think about the WWF, the Worldwide Fund for Conservation or Wildlife. You think about conservation of wild animals, saving the nature and all that. And of course, Disney. We think about Disney, one core theme or message is probably imagination. In fact, Disney, they have this term they use for their workers. They would call them Imagineers because they would work things that would spark your imagination. Now, when it comes to the church, what is the message that marks the church as a whole, whether church here in Dumaguete or the early church way back, okay, in the times of Peter and all that? If you're talking about a genuine church, the message that marks the church is no other than this message, the gospel. All right, let's sit with it for a while. Gospel. We're going to be talking about the gospel here today. Now, as a quick refresher for all of us, what is the gospel and why is it that this message should mark the church in all that it does? The gospel is basically the good news that God became man in Jesus Christ. He lived the life we should have lived, died the death we should have died in our place. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, proving that he is the Son of God and offering the gift of salvation and forgiveness of sins to anyone who repents and believes in him. Basically, the good news. The gospel is that Jesus Christ, the main reason why he came to this world was, again, to live a life that we should have lived. Okay, he took our place basically in living the perfect life and dying the death that we should have died. And in doing so, after he rose from the dead, he offered the gift of salvation, the free gift of salvation to any who believes and receives the message, who repents and believes in him. That's the gospel right there. And that should mark the church. That meaning in all that we do, whether that be for our worship services, for our discipleship, for our victory groups, for one-to-ones, and how we live as believers of Christ, as part of the church community, it should be marked with the gospel. So meaning if this was an early mark of the early church, that means that the early church was a gospel-centered church. They were all about the gospel. In fact, the early church started when Peter preached the full gospel. After received the Holy Spirit, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They went out of the room and preached to a multitude of people coming from different backgrounds, different places, speaking different languages. Peter preached to them the gospel, and over 3,000 people became added to the church, to their number. That's how the church started. The church is marked with the gospel. The early church was a gospel-centered church. And we're going to look at another story here today to emphasize just how important or just how a church is marked with the gospel, and that's in Acts 15, verses 1 to 31. So, can I read your Bibles? Now, I'm not going to read the entire story all together in one sitting because I know it's a pretty lengthy passage. I won't ask you to stand. But rather, in a while, we're going to go through the story. We're going to look at certain key verses. We're not going to look at every verse, but certain important key verses throughout this passage. And as we go through the story, we'll come to realize just how the early church was marked with the gospel. So if your Bibles, can you ready them? And just before we go through the verses, let me just pray for all of us. Lord, we thank you for today, Lord God. We could read your word once again. Be reminded of the importance of the gospel as well. How it should shape us by looking at how it shaped or how it marked the early church, Lord God. Lord, we thank you. We give you praise. We speak to our hearts and minds today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So, Acts 15, verse 1 to 31. And after this service, by the way, you can read of the entire chapter. It's medyo lengthy siya. So if you want to look at every single important detail, you can always do so. Read through the Bible, okay? Read through this chapter after the service. Now, our setting is basically in one of Paul's missionary journeys. We're in Antioch. Now, if you remember, okay, in Acts 1, okay, Jesus practically told his disciples that you will receive power from the Holy Spirit. And they would preach the gospel and they would go to different places, like from Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Meaning they would preach the gospel wherever they would go, okay, to different places. Now they've been to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and at this point, we're at the quote-unquote ends of the earth, at least in their limited sense of what ends of the earth is. Okay, wala pang Pilipinas that time. They didn't know bang na Pilipinas that time, but they went through far off places na. And Antioch was one of them. And while ang story nato is in a time where Paul and Barnabas, another missionary, another church leader, were in the church in Antioch. They were together. They were preaching to the church, encouraging the church there. But in verse 1, it says here, "But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, 'Unless you are circumcised, according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved.'" They're saying, unless ma-circumcise ka, dili assured ang salvation ni mo. Now you might ask, what does circumcision have to do with salvation? Parang, it's a silly question. Parang we would think na, you know, if someone were to brought it up right now, but you're having a victory group, but someone would tell you, Tom, you know what? I believe you still need to be circumcised to be saved. You might immediately dismiss that person as parang, you're crazy. What are you talking about? But you know what? This statement or this train of thought was causing problems in the church of Antioch. It says here in verse 2, after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, meaning this was a full-blown argument. This wasn't like small talk na, bro, ay na gulo na, bro. Just forget about it. It wasn't some small disagreement lang. They had a debate, okay? Intense debate. No small dissension and debate with them. Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. It got so bad, okay? It got so heated, yung debate, yung trying to answer the question, that it needed this action. Paul and Barnabas had to go all the way to Jerusalem, to the apostles, to the elders, and get a unanimous answer from the church leaders so that they can answer these people. Like, unsa bay sakto ba? They needed to go there, okay? Of course, Paul and Barnabas were arguing against them, but for the sake of quieting down or ending this wrong train of thought, they needed to go to Jerusalem, get the consensus of the church leaders. Verse 4, they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God had done with them. And verse 5, but some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, it is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders were gathered together to consider these matters. This is the second time in the same chapter that the thought about someone has to be circumcised before he can be saved is brought up. Again, we might wonder, nga naman, what's all this fuss about being circumcised before you get saved? Just try to answer that. Caesar in verse 5, Caesar that it is necessary for them to be circumcised and to keep the law of Moses. This whole reason why the group that belonged to the Pharisees and some of the other people in Antioch, they were advocating for circumcision before salvation, okay? Munang plataforma nila. The reason why they were doing so is that they wanted the Gentile believers, those who did not come from a Jewish background, they wanted them to basically keep the Mosaic law. If you remember, the Jewish people in the story of Exodus, when they left Egypt, Moses, their leader, received 10 commandments from God and how they should live their lives. But not just that. Moses also received several other laws and how the Jewish people should conduct themselves, how they should live their lives. And that's what we get the Mosaic Law. And you can read it in your Bibles as well, in the book of Leviticus. There are several hundred laws there about dealing with people, your properties, with relationships, with your nation. Nandiyan ang mga laws. When basically these people, okay, some of them who came from the Pharisees, were basically the keepers of the law, they wanted to basically still follow the Mosaic Law before they can receive the gospel or before they can be saved. In other words, they were advocating that for someone to become part of the church, to become a Christian, they were saying that you have to become a Jew before you become a Christian. Para siyang prerequisite sa subject for anyone who's in college or has been through college. Diba? Sometimes, there are certain subjects na before you can take them, like let's say advanced swimming, whatever sa P, advanced swimming, before you can take the subject, there's another subject you have to take before you can take that other subject, especially sa majors ninyo, diba? Before you can take a certain major subject, you have to go through several other subjects before you can take it. That's basically what these people, yung mga certain Jewish believers, those coming from the Pharisees, when they said you have to be circumcised and keep the Mosaic Law, they're basically saying you have to become a Jew first before you become a Christian. They're saying it's not enough to just hear the gospel, you have to follow these laws given by Moses to us. That was their whole argument. And the church leaders, with Peter, with John, with Paul and Barnabas, they met together, debated, they talked with one another to give a unanimous decision on what to do about this certain thing. Like, is this true ba? Is this not true ba? They're about to answer these people. So in verse 7, after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brothers, you know that in the early days, God made a choice among you that by mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith." Now, before I get to the hammer of Peter's answer, let me just look at these three verses. It's pretty interesting as well. Peter is basically here reciting or reminding the people what he experienced a few years or some time before. At one point in his life, see Peter, God called him to preach the gospel to this Gentile and his community, to Cornelius. Cornelius is a Roman officer or at least a Roman person, meaning he's not of Jewish descent. He does not keep the Mosaic Law growing up. Dahil ang background niya. And Peter, before this actually, ang mindset ni Peter is the gospel is just for Jews. Medyo napaypag narrow-mindedness si Peter just before this. Na he's gonna preach the gospel to the Jewish people, that's it. But at one point in his life, God, okay, basically revealed to Peter, showed Peter that the gospel is to be preached to everyone, whether he be Jew, Greek, Roman, or whatever his nationality and race. And so when Peter was called by God to go to this place, Cornelius, he realized that he saw all the signs and wonders God was doing in that place. He came to understand that the gospel is for everyone. It should be preached to everyone who would listen and receive it. He basically baptized Cornelius and his household right there and then as well. So basically, mindset of Peter here is, the gospel is to be preached to everyone. And in verse 10, he says, "Now therefore, why are you putting God to the test?" Ngayon yung gina-test si God. Or in some translations, why are you mocking God? Because when Jesus died on the cross to offer the gift of salvation to any who would repent and receive, he basically said, "It is finished." There's the finished work of Christ that assures us of our salvation. And we're going to say, "Jesus, you know what? I still think na kailangan i-follow ng rules, kanyang laws." We're basically telling God, "You know what, Lord? Kulang imong gibuhat. What you're doing is not enough." And so Peter is saying, why are you putting God to the test? By placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear. Now, here's the interesting thing. Yes, the Jewish people, they tried all that they could to follow the Mosaic Law to the best that they can at an early age until they die. But here's the thing, not one of them could completely, to the letter, okay, follow the law. Not one of them could follow the law perfectly. But here's the thing about the Mosaic Law. It demands perfection. Only a person of perfect morality can satisfy and fulfill the law. And here's the thing, is there any other person in this world can say, perfect sila, morally perfect, good, never made a mistake, never sinned at least once in his lifetime? That's impossible. There's no person like that. The whole point of the law is like a mirror ang law. It's to tell people that for you to be saved, you have to be this perfect. It's like a mirror that tells us that every time we fail to follow the law, it tells us of how basically sinful we are. It's not to be completely fulfilled by people. Task and standards alone. No one could fulfill it. It's to remind the people that only God could fulfill His law. That's how sinful we are. If we think na good ta, maayo ta. Here's the thing. Look at the law. Look at the Ten Commandments and see if you're perfectly following them. And if you feel like at least one of them, wala rin mo na follow, guess what? You do not qualify for salvation. That's how high the standard of the law was. And Peter says, you're putting a yoke, you're putting a load on the people that neither we, okay, kita mga Jewish people, or our forefathers. Think of the greatest Jewish peoples, you know, Moses, you know, Joshua, all those people, Nehemiah, and all that. Guess what? Not one of them was able to follow the law completely. They all failed. They all sinned at one point in their lives. And nga naman, yung na to mga Gentile believers, you need to follow this before you can be saved. And so Peter concludes, but we believe we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus. In other words, my first point for all of us here today as we talk about the message or the gospel is that the gospel is sufficient for salvation. We say it's sufficient, it's enough. Ego siya. In other words, you know, if you think about salvation, okay, if there is a hiring, only qualified people are those saved, are those nga na redeemed na, qualified nga maputan sa heaven with God. If there was a hiring, like mga ads makita name mo in a post somewhere, if there's a certain ads that needs requirements, diba certain ads, sometimes ang requirements di na to ma-meet, like yung last one, must like smiling and happy things. If there was an ad for hiring those who are saved, those who are redeemed by Jesus and all that, the only requirement there would be the gospel. It's not by following a set of rules, not by your good works. The requirement there is the gospel. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 to 9 says, for by grace you have been saved. By grace, meaning it's not because you deserved it. It's not because you were able to achieve, unlock achievement, salvation. No. By grace, meaning you didn't deserve it, you didn't earn it, you weren't able to achieve it, and yet you got it. Someone gave it to you. You have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. You did not do it. Yun sa Bible, you did not earn your salvation. No matter how good you think you are compared to your seatmate right now or to your friends, feeling ni mga, ah, grabe, may pa ko. I read my Bible cover to cover every morning. I come to church 1 hour before the service. Ano kong person? Whatever it is, feeling mo, you're way better than any person on this planet. Guess what? The Bible says, not one of us was able to achieve salvation by our own doing. It is the gift of God given to us by God, not a result of works so that no one may boast. No one can say in this room, you know what? Saved ako. I did this, I did that. Gibuhat na ako ni. In other words, if you were going to think about the people in heaven, not one of them can say, na ako dire karon because I did this when I was alive and all that. No. The only thing they can say is, by the grace of God, I am here. No one can boast of his works that he was saved. You can only boast on what Jesus did, on the work of Christ, about his salvation. Going back to verse 11, we've been saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus just as they will. Peter basically concludes, we will be saved. Ang pattern is through the gospel, through the grace of Christ, we are saved. Kita mga Jewish people, we are saved. And not just that, we also believe that they, sila po, ang mga Gentile believers, those who are not able to keep up with the law, they will also be saved the same way. That they don't have to follow the Mosaic law. Here's the grace of God. They are saved the same way we are saved through the gospel. That one requirement that satisfies all the requirements to be saved, the gospel. And as a result, what happened? Acts 12 says here, all the assembly fell silent. Peter says, mic drop. Like mic drop si Peter, okay? He basically reminds them of the importance, of the weight of the gospel. This is why they were preaching, enduring, and being persecuted, persevering the persecution so much. Because the gospel is very important. It satisfies, it's sufficient for salvation. This is what a person needs to be saved. They need to hear the gospel. And so the old assembly fell silent because, again, for some of them, they knew Peter as the guy nga medyo narrow-minded pa, pang Jewish lang ang gina-preach ni Peter. But now, he's basically telling to everyone, even the Gentiles can be saved. As they listened to Barnabas and Paul, and they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. And now, Barnabas and Paul are giving testimonies of what God is doing in the churches with Gentile believers. That even though they didn't keep up with the Mosaic law, God is doing all of these amazing things. Then jump to verse 19. Another person naman, si James, not the brother of John, who died na, another James, stood up as well and spoke in agreement with Peter, Paul, and Barnabas. He says, "Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but should write to them to abstain from the things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, and from what has been strangled, and from blood." Verse 21, "For from ancient generations, Moses has had in every city those who proclaim him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogues." The second thing I want to point here is that the gospel produces a changed life. You see, the gospel that doesn't just redeem our past, your past sins wiped away, redeemed. Forgiveness of sins, total forgiveness of sins, gibuhat na. It doesn't just redeem of your past. It doesn't just assure us of our future. Now, our salvation is assured na, but not just that, it also affects our present, how we live today in our life. It radically transforms the way we live our lives today. The gospel produces a changed life. In fact, it results to good works. Good works are not a prerequisite for salvation, but rather they are a result of it. You don't do good works to earn salvation, rather because you know you've been saved by Christ, it causes you to do good works. You see, there are two things that people normally operate if they missed out the gospel. It is either one, they add things to the gospel, they become legalistic. Well, you have to do this, you have to do that. Just like some of those Jewish believers, the Judaizers. They're saying you have to follow the Mosaic law and all these things for you to be saved. That's what they call legalism. But on the other hand naman, the other extreme is licentiousness. And what does licentiousness mean? To be licentious is basically lacking legal or moral restraints, lawless, no rules, or no regard for rules, going beyond proper bounds. One extreme is too much rules, nakikina-add sa gospel, do this, do that, before you get saved, or para makip nimong salvation nimo. The other extreme naman is, saved na bida ko, I'll just do this, I'll do whatever I want. Doesn't matter if it's a sin or not, saved na bida ko, assured na bida ko. That's the other extreme right there, licentiousness. Here's the thing, the gospel doesn't permit us a life of licentiousness. It doesn't mean na parang, because saved na ko, repent na ko later, ani. No, that's a wrong way of knowing that. In fact, Paul says, shall we go on sinning? No, by no means should we go on sinning. But rather, we should have a changed life. Now, going back to verse 19, what I'm saying a while ago, lay basically the groundwork for what I'm about to unpack here. See, James, he says, we need to abstain from these things. Now, you might think na, di ba kanina, gospel lang requirement for salvation? Yes. These things are not a requirement for salvation. But rather, because they have been saved, we are to abstain, to stop from these things, basically so that we don't have to be a stumbling block for others. When you say a stumbling block, it means that you cause other people to sin, to walk away from the faith, meaning, I don't follow Jesus because this person did this. That's what a stumbling block is. You cause people to fall, to stumble because of your actions, because of the way you live your life. What James is saying here is basically, let's stop doing these things because if they do these things, they will cause other people to stumble. It doesn't mean that kailangan siya for salvation, but what we have here is basically several things that need to stop doing because it is wise to do so. And what are those things? Firstly, eating foods offered to idols, sexual immorality, eating animals without blood drained from them, and eating blood. The second one there, sexual immorality, medyo easier to understand. Of course, it's a sin, okay? We don't do that. The Bible says, flee from sexual immorality. It's pretty easy to understand. But James puts it there because for the Gentiles, they had no concept of what is sexual immoral. For them, you just have sex with anyone you want. Normal lang na sila. So James had to put this there so that the Gentiles would live a new life, that they don't go back to their old life. They need to all be aware that now that they've been saved, they need to live a pure and holy life. They need to live a life that's different. Now, three of the other things there talks about ceremonial laws, about their food, what they eat. And again, these are not requirements for salvation, but rather, James is encouraging them, the Gentiles, not to eat of these things, so as one, not to offend their fellow Jewish believers and where they came from. At the same time, not to cause potentially Jewish believers, okay, kaya naman gina-reach out nila, to be stumbled. Let me read Romans 14, verse 20 to 21 to give us a picture. It says here, "Do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. yes, everything is indeed clean. Meaning, yes, pwede mo mukhang dinuguan karon. Okay? Okay lang. For those of you in shock, walang patay akong favorite food, di na pwede. No, okay lang, okay lang. Okay? It says here, you can still eat of it. But here's the thing. But it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. Ang point ni James ani is, don't eat of these things because if you do so, you will cause a Jewish person to basically sin in his mind, to cause him to stumble and send him a reach out nimo, ma-offend nimo, and din siya naman mahimong believer ni Christ. They're basically thinking about what is wise because it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. The point here is wisdom. James is saying, live your life wisely in a way that will bring people to Christ, not shoo them away. Now, what does it mean for us here today, church? We've been talking about the gospel being sufficient for salvation and producing changed life. What this means for us? 2019, here today, is that the gospel should mark the way we live our lives. That as believers of Christ, not just for those who are in full-time ministry, by the way, not just for the volunteers, not just for Victory group leaders, but even if you're a two-day-old Christian, even if you're still going through one-to-one, first chapter pa lang ka, even if you just consider yourself, quote-unquote, a normal Christian, the whole point is that we should live our lives as salt and light of the world. That when people look at our lives, they see the gospel. When people look at your actions, your words, your speech, the things that you do, they can say, man, tinod ko na si Jesus. When they look at their lives, they will see, ano lahi ang life aning a person? For example, in our social media, are your posts, when you post something, does it bring a person closer to Christ? Is it something marked with the gospel? Is it giving a blessing to someone? Or the way we post, the pictures we put on Instagram, our tweets and everything, does it cause people to stumble? Our posts in social media, is it something that's giving encouragement and a blessing to someone, increasing them, strengthening their faith in Christ, or you know, enabling someone to believe in Jesus? Na parang, I want to believe what you have. Or does it shoo away a person? Na parang, ah, mo din yung mga Kristiyano? Mo din yung gina-tweet nila? Mo din yung gina-post nila there? The way we live our lives in the campuses, young students, in your studies, in your exams, in your assignments, when they see you take an exam, study, do they see Jesus in you? Do they see a changed life? Before you were a Christian, now you're a Christian, ano like na niya? Or is it for them, same lang? Atong before ka na Christian, muni palantaw yun nimo. Now na Christian ka, muna giyapon palantaw nimo. Ni-graduate na lang ka, same ang ilang palantaw nimo. Or if in the workplace, sometimes in the world, there's a set of different values, the world has different values, but as a believer of Christ, we have our own values. Is the gospel evident in your life, in the campus, in the workplace, in your communities? Or is it causing people to stumble, church? Let the thought sink in. Is the gospel producing a change life in you? Perhaps we are in need more of what we call vitamin G. Ang gospel. Preach ourselves the gospel. Here's the thing about the gospel. We need the gospel every day. It's like when you need to take certain foods, you need to drink water every day to survive and all. Same thing with the gospel. We need the gospel to be preached to us every single day. Because we are a forgetful people. We need to be reminded of the gospel. So for the last point I want to share, the gospel brings growth and great joy. What do you mean by growth and great joy? Acts 15, verse 30 to 31 says here, so then they were sent off, they went down to Antioch, and having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter, and when they had read it, because the church leaders in Jerusalem decided, okay, no need ang circumcision, just abstain from these things, and of course, the gospel, that's it, mulang na. And they sent Barnabas and Paul, proclaimed the letter to the church in Antioch. They went there, they read the letter, and the entire church there, the people heard it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. Parang, yes, saved that. Perhaps for some of them, they were disheartened, they were confused about their salvation because of the intense argument. They were thinking, ha, di pa di ko saved. Di di assure ng salvation na ako. And now, hearing that the gospel, full gospel, is sufficient for salvation, they greatly rejoice. They're encouraged. They're happy. Parang, yes, we are saved nga. And we don't need the Mosaic law, all those hundreds of laws, because Jesus fulfilled the law na for us. That's the whole point of the gospel. that part of he lived the life he should have lived, that's Jesus fulfilling the entirety of the law, of the Mosaic law, because we could not fulfill it. So what an encouragement to them. Parang, yes, we don't need to do this. Jesus fulfilled it for us. They're so encouraged. Okay? Prayers for some of them, encouraged po sila because, you know, di na sila kailangan ma-circumcise na. Okay? Cancel ang operation tuli sa ila and all that. Here's the thing. Verse 4 to 5 of Acts 16, not just that, says here, and they went on their way, this is Paul, after parting with Barnabas, through the cities. They delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles. So, it didn't stop in Antioch. To stop this train of thought that you need to follow certain things to be saved back, Paul went out sharing this message, sharing these instructions to the churches. And says here, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and they increased in number daily. Can you imagine that? They increased in number, not eventually, not once a month. They increased in number daily. Why? Because of the gospel. Because they were strengthened in the faith. No, man, inanig ang putating gospel. It satisfies salvation. They preached the gospel all the more. Because they know that this is the power to save people. This is the power of God that redeems people. This message is important. And the more the gospel was preached, because they were strengthened in the faith, their numbers increased daily. Meaning, if a church just wants to grow, it needs to be faithful about preaching the gospel. It needs to be faithful at making sure that the gospel is seen in all that it does. It's marked in all it does. Whether that be in their worship services, again, in our discipleship, or our victory groups, one-to-ones, or any forms of discipleship, or the way we help out the community, or the way we just live our lives as the church, we should be marked by the gospel. As we do so, it will bring us joy and growth. As I wrap this up, let me just leave you with this point. The church is marked by the message of the gospel for everyone who believes. The church should be marked with the gospel, not by a set of rules and instructions, but by the gospel, which is sufficient and needed for people to be saved.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.